to the first edition of All In with the Saints with myself, Jake Seeley, and Mr. Bobby McMahon from Roto Experts. It's going to be all season long, all Saints all season long, and we're here to give you the breakdown fantasy-wise for them and all the other players that you're concerned about, of course. It will be Saints-focused, but we're definitely going to give you the full breadth of information to make sure you win your leagues, because as much fun as it would be, you wouldn't want all Saints, or I don't even think you could get all Saints. There's just too many options for them this year. But as I said, myself, Jake Seeley, if you want to follow me at AllInKid on Twitter. You can follow Bobby at HelloOnBobby on Twitter as well. Both of them, all one word. And that's where you can get us. You can find our stuff over at rotoexperts.com. You can find this all season long on the Saints website. So we'll be here for you. But real quick, I guess, you know, I've been talking in the lead-in so far. At least introduce yourself and say hi there, Bobby.
Hey, everyone. Bobby McMahon here. Like Jake said, looking forward to the season. Obviously got a high-powered offense to talk about here with the Saints, but also covering any other fantasy questions and stuff that might come up throughout the season, and kicking it off with a preview of the quarterback position tonight.
Yeah, we're going to touch on quarterbacks, and I think it's a pretty easy place to start, really, especially when we're talking about the Saints here, because obviously, there's a pretty big guy back there, not in height, but a pretty big guy fantasy-wise, in Mr. Drew Brees, the leader of the nation down there. And really, honestly, what can you really say? I don't want to offend everybody off the top. I'm kind of hesitant here because I don't want to offend everybody off the top for the very first show, but Drew Brees is number two quarterback. I would love to say he's number one. I would love to say that he's going to put up better numbers than Peyton Manning, but I don't know how you can. Yes, if you look at the past six seasons, Drew Brees has been number one in fantasy three times. He finished twice, those other two, and then sixth the 1 year, a little bit off of a season in 2010. But he's been number one three times before. It's not like it's something he can't do. But Peyton Manning in Denver and what he has in Denver and the numbers that he just set last year, record-setting-wise, I want to say that Brees could do the same, but we're talking about he got outscored by almost 60 points by Peyton Manning. And even if Manning's off for week 16, 60 points isn't going to come from Drew Brees in week 17 to make up for that one game. They could get closer because, and I'll let you make your case as well, because you can make the argument. A lot of people are saying, well, the Raiders and the Broncos right now have the two toughest strength of schedules in the NFL. The Raiders number one, Broncos number two. The Saints, I think they're, if I remember correctly, they're either sixth or ninth, and I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but one of the easiest. They're down there. They're at least in the top 10 for easiest schedules. And so people are making the case that, okay, maybe you could take Drew Brees as the first quarterback because the schedule is so much different. But as you well know, and I actually just wrote a column about it recently, is looking at strength of schedule is a fool's errand. I hate when people do that because there's way too much change. The last defense that actually went back-to-back top of the league was 93-94 with the Steelers. Okay, that's 20 years ago. 20 years, the top defense. So to base things off of last year with all the changes and to say that the defense is in the strength of schedule for this year, I mean, look at another good example last season was the Lions. You have the exact opposite of what they were supposed to be when it comes to strength of schedule for difficulty and ease. So to do that, I just think you're underrating what Peyton Manning is for the Broncos offense. Not to take anything away from Drew Brees. I love the guy. I actually have him in quite a few leagues because it seems that when you play in our leagues, like the expert leagues, people don't want to draft quarterbacks, and then you get there around four, five, six, and he's still sitting there along with Aaron Rodgers, and you got to take him, and I love having him. But I think that it's not any slight to Drew Brees, but he's number two.
It's definitely close. I mean, I think it's close with all three, with Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning. And it wouldn't surprise me if any of those three finished as the top fantasy quarterback this year. What I love from Brees is obviously the consistency. I mean, 3 years in a row with over 5,000 yards passing. He's had 46, 43, and 39 touchdowns in each of the past three seasons. Obviously, Peyton Manning was an absolute juggernaut this year, and obviously, I don't think he's going to match those numbers again. So I certainly think Breeze is going to be within striking distance this year. I think Aaron Rodgers actually might have the best shot at finishing as the number one overall quarterback. Obviously, with the injury last year, I had a little bit of a down year, but I think that offense bounces back in a very big way. So really, when you're talking about these top three guys for fantasy, I think flip a coin between them. And if Breeze is your first guy, you might be able to get him as the third guy off the board. I really think you're going to see Manning go first. I think a lot of drafts are going to have Aaron Rodgers go second. So, for a guy in Drew Breeze that you might be able to get a few picks later, maybe even a whole round later than Peyton Manning, depending on who you're drafting with, I think it's a great pick for Drew Brees if you're going to go quarterback early, because, 5,000, basically pencil him in for about 5,000 yards and somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 touchdowns, because that's what he's been doing lately.
Yeah, see, that's the interesting side of it is you talk about Aaron Rodgers, and he was second, was it two or three times? I got to pull that up real quick just to check. It was three times, and then first the other two times in the past 5 years. But again, it really comes down to – I almost feel like between he and Breeze is for number two. I get what you're saying. I think that he has a shot where he could get to number one. But I don't see how anybody even comes close to Peyton Manning, even if he comes back a little bit. Like, we're talking about nobody passed for 40 touchdowns last year. Maybe Breeze can do it. I think that Breeze has more touchdown potential than Aaron Rodgers does. Rodgers brings that rushing ability. But we're talking about Peyton Manning threw for 55. I don't see any reason why he can't be top 40 to, I'd say 48 to maybe 50 touchdowns again. And you're even talking about a drop-off, but I think that it just still puts him so far ahead that why are the Broncos going to change what brought them success? Look at the Patriots a few seasons ago when they had the success 2 years in a row with Tom Brady, even though he's thrown to a bunch of bombs, but there's success, and they didn't really change their style. They did what worked. So I get what everybody's saying about the regression because of the numbers that he put up and how amazing they were, but at the same time, I don't think we'll say he's going to throw for 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns again, but would it really shock you if he did?
No, I mean, it wouldn't. And after last year, you really can't doubt him at all. It was just a ridiculous, ridiculous season. I think, everything kind of came together for that offense, for them to score that many points in a season and for Peyton to pass for 55 touchdowns. I just think it's going to be really, really tough for him to repeat that. And I certainly think he could come close to it, but I also think that, Breeze and Aaron Rodgers are right at his heels.
I think absolutely. And I would really like it. Like I said, I would love if Drew Breeze ends up as the number one quarterback, because I'm getting him late. It's just late, in my opinion. I don't like taking quarterbacks, and just in the philosophy in general, we'll talk about that real quick before we talk about some of the other ones, is it gets overblown in the expert leagues, especially, I just had a big flex leagues drafted this weekend, and we saw quarterbacks going in the 7th, 8th, 9th round of guys that are way off the board at that point. Like, I took Matthew Stafford in round 7 in one of them, which is ridiculous. Robert Griffin and Matt Ryan and Cam Newton and Andrew Luck were all coming off the 9th and the 10th round. And look, that's not going to happen. For anybody that's listening, even in the high-stake leagues, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't. It's really the fact that the experts are all in that wait-on-quarterback mindset, and then we all just keep doing the same thing. And we all know that even if somebody jumps the gun, that is probably not going to be everybody. So there's no real threat to keep waiting. It's not like, well, you're ever going to see 6 or 7 quarterbacks come off in round 8 and then all of a sudden you got screwed. It's almost they trickle through and you can take a breather. And okay, so you missed out on tier 2, so you go to tier 3. So that being said, is you should still wait on quarterbacks, because as much as I would love to have a Manning, a Breeze, or a Rodgers, it just quarterback position this year is so deep that really, even if you ended up with a Russell Wilson combo with a Tony Romo or a Brady and a Cutler or even a Foles and a Phillip Rivers, I just don't see the need to jump with how deep it is. I mean, you could really go 15, almost 16 deep at quarterback and have an every week starter. Not that I would really want a Rivers or Roethlisberger to start for me every single week, but Roethlisberger was borderline top 5 over the last 6 weeks of last season. He can put up those kind of numbers. So there's enough quarterbacks out there that can get you through the season, even if you have to mix and match.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's so deep, deeper than last year. where we saw, people waiting on quarterbacks. I do think you can wait, absolutely. I just think I'd be fine with rolling with Jay Cutler as my starter. A guy that I see that's going for good value is Matt Ryan. Threw for 4,500 yards last year, 26 touchdowns, and that was with Julio out for a good chunk of the year, and Roddy White not looking like himself until the end of the season. So I just think there's just so much value depending on where you want to go at quarterback. You could really, in the earlier rounds, you could build up and stack your team with wide receivers, grab a nice tight end, grab some running backs, and then, as you get deeper into the middle rounds, then you can start looking at even an RG3, Colin Kaepernick, all these guys with the potential to finish as, top five, top seven type of quarterbacks. You can get one of them and then, go with a safer guy like a Russell Wilson as your QB2, maybe insulate yourself a little bit there, or a Big Ben. I think in a lot of 10 and 12 team leagues, you're going to be able to get him as your second quarterback. So I think the playing the mix and match there is going to lead to some success and really help you stack your team in some other areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, we talk about the running backs, and not we're talking about quarterbacks for tonight, but it ties into that fact. And the fact that running backs, if you look at it this year, as it's been for the past couple seasons, progressively getting there even more so. And so it's really extreme this season, is there's so few running backs that have that every down ability, or even three downs, or even 70% of the three downs where they don't come out on third down, or they still get the majority shares and they're not even splitting carries on first and second down. Because a perfect example is, and their offense is a little bit different than a lot in the leagues, but the Detroit Lions. Actually, we're talking about the Saints. We might as well just talk about them. You got Pierre Thomas, Kerry Robinson, and then Mark Ingram all in the mix for this season. Last year, Darren Sproles there. It's a perfect example of what it is. There's no clear cut. This guy is going to touch the ball 300 times this season. Running backs, they're just very few and far between at this point. So being able to load up at running back or grab a couple extra receivers in case one flames out, their situation changes, they get hurt, you drafted a Percy Harvin, you know he's going to get hurt at some point. Really lets you build your team better. And then you could even make, and we'll talk about him next week, but you can make the move and grab Mr. Wonderful Jimmy Graham in the first round, and then be able to build your running backs and wide receivers and come back to quarterback later. It gives you so many more opportunities. If you take Peyton Manning in the first round, or even Drew Brees in the first round or in the second, you really have kind of locked yourself into needing to go after, you force yourself into picking certain positions after that.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. You're kind of locking yourself in there, and you're missing out on value. And when someone like a Romo or a Nick Foles or someone like that is sitting there in round 8 or 9, it's a waste of a pick for you to take them if you already have a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers or a Peyton Manning, because you're never going to use these guys, unless unfortunately there's a major injury. Yeah, that's why the value at quarterback this year is something that needs to be taken advantage of. Now, if I'm there in the, like you were saying a little bit earlier, if I'm there in the fourth or fifth round and Drew Brees is staring me in the face and no one's going to take him, I'm certainly going to take that value there. But where they're going, or where we've seen them go, second, third round, even early fourth round, I think there's a definite case to be made to wait on the quarterback. You're still going to get a guy. Maybe he's not going to throw for 5,000 yards, but you certainly still got a good shot at 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. 70, 80% of what Drew Brees is going to give you, or what Peyton Manning is going to give you possibly, and you're going to stack up at other positions. So, I think it's very deep this year. We didn't even talk about a guy like Tom Brady, who had a quote unquote off year last year, 4,300 yards and 25 touchdowns with only 11 interceptions. So, a guy like that who can be had a little bit later than some of these elite guys, you're going to be in really good shape with someone like that at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of, we can just actually kind of run down here and talk about some of the other guys real quick. I think, at least in my opinion, after you get to the Manning, Brees, Rodgers, right after him, I think that, at least in my opinion, I think Stafford's kind of sitting there in his own tier, just kind of by himself. I know some people make the case for Andrew Luck, and you might, I don't know, I'd be interested to see what you say, but I think it's kind of Stafford, and then that's it, in my opinion, because I really think that a few years ago when he hit 5,000 yards and threw for the 41 touchdowns, I don't think Stafford's going to do that again. Even if they are more pass heavy this year, especially with Joique Bell emerging, and if you look at the fact they got Golden Tate, so they finally have a really nice wide receiver alongside Calvin Johnson they've been searching for years to get. I just don't know that they want to go that route. I don't know that they want him to throw for 41 touchdowns because they have a nice balance with Bush and Bell. That being said, if you look at last year, the yards were down from 2012, but he threw for 29 touchdowns, so he had a better fantasy season, finished fourth. I really think that we could see more of maybe the 2012 yards, where it's maybe 4,800, 4,900, but kind of more the touchdowns from last season, so it's the upper 20s, which is why I think he's pretty much locked into number four, and then we can start talking about Luck and the rest, because as much as I like Luck, I see Stafford kind of almost, he's not quite Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, but he's better than the rest.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree with you. He's kind of sitting there in the middle. You know, if Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning are in that first tier, I think he's definitely above, head and shoulders above everyone else. And there's some guys that certainly have a shot to put up just as big a numbers as Matthew Stafford does this year. But I really like that offense. I mean, he's only 26 years old still. He's just been in the league for, 5 years, and we've kind of been spoiled with it. Definitely inconsistent arm motion at times too. It was good to see the touchdowns back up this year. Still has a problem with the interceptions, and kind of did tank it a little bit the last 6 or 7 weeks of last season. He was on pace for a much bigger year than he actually ended up with. I think he puts it all together this year. I just like the team around him. I love the run game there. I like getting a sure-handed guy like Golden Tate. They got an exciting guy in Eric Ebron, so I like the weapons for Stafford. And since we're talk about the next tier, and you'd mentioned Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck is a guy that I really like for the future. And if I was in a dynasty league, he'd certainly have a case to be my number one guy. For this year, I think he's going to end up being overdrafted, and I'm going to say that a lot of people are probably going to pick him fourth or fifth or maybe even sixth. After the big three are gone, I think it's a perfect example to wait on a guy and get someone a little bit later on, like a Matt Ryan, because I think Luck, they're gonna want to run the ball, and whether it's Trent Richardson getting 3 yards carry, or Ahmad Bradshaw when he's actually healthy, I think they are gonna try and commit to the run game a little bit. Certainly, Luck is gonna have to throw it at times, but we're probably looking at somewhere around 4,000 yards, maybe 20-something touchdowns. And then some nice yardage on the ground, and I think that's able to be had later on in the draft. So I think anyone that reaches for Luck, I think is reaching, and I think they're kind of looking and hoping that he makes a huge jump. And I don't necessarily see a huge jump this year. I see a natural progression in him continuing to get better as one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. But I think for his draft cost, I think he's definitely a little bit overrated for this season as far as fantasy goes.
Well, I completely agree with you on that, and I'll completely agree with the Matthew Stafford when you said his inconsistencies with throw. You put it lightly, man. Come on, he sidearms the ball way too. Actually, I think he's got like 8 different arm slots. I don't know if he was one time a submariner pitcher for some Japan league or something, but I've never seen somebody throw it out of so many different spots, and half the time it either ends up on the ground or intercepted. I don't get it. If he just could stop doing that, he would probably be up there in that top tier of the conversation, like that season we were talking about where he threw for the 41 touchdowns, because he actually throws the ball properly. It's so frustrating. And half those passes end up going to Brandon Prettigrew, who just drops them too, so that doesn't help. But anyway, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I have Luck right behind Stafford at number five, but again, I think the tier kind of breaks off there, and I don't see myself getting Luck in any leagues because I'm not ready to take him where he's going in drafts, and I'm happy with pretty much the next four or five guys behind him, just because I don't think the separation's that large. And I don't know about you, but like right now I have Nick Foles at number six, and a lot of people overreacted after the two interceptions this preseason, and he started dropping. I don't get it. Side note, real quick. People need to stop overreacting to the preseason, man. You would think after last year, the perfect example I can give from last year, Mr. Zach Sudfeld. How much of an overreaction was that? I mean, the guy skyrocketed, was borderline tight end one in drafts. And then guess what happened with that? Yeah, he wasn't even useful the entire season. Not even, I don't think one game was useful. And it's just another proof of, you can talk about Victor Cruz with the Giants. Yes, everybody wants to think that that's a possibility. But even Victor Cruz, it didn't happen the first year he flashed because he had injuries in other situations and a deep roster in front of him. But it wasn't immediate. And then it still took a little bit of time. But he's one out of what? Maybe 500 that this kind of stuff happens to. So I just, Nick Foles started out rough, had an actually really nice second game. Still Chip Kelly's offense, who people don't realize they do run more than people think because it's so high octane, they expect tons of passing. It's actually very run heavy too. But that being said, he's not going to put up those numbers from last year. There's no way on earth. But I'm talking about the touchdown to interception ratio, obviously. But we're still talking about somebody who could very easily near the 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and he's not going to be at the upper 4,000s for yards when I say that. I'm talking right around the 4,100, maybe 4,200, but it's the 30 touchdowns that I really like because I think he's pretty much locked in there with that offense. Macklin's still coming back to be healthy, but I really like Zach Ertz. And after him, and I'll give you a rundown because we can kind of talk about all these guys grouped together because they're the ones, like I said, I would be happy with. If I miss out on him, I'll grab Matt Ryan because they're going to be you talk about passing a lot. They're going to be throwing the ball like nobody's business. He's got Roddy White healthy off a full season of being healthy, so he's kind of back in. Granted, he's getting older, but he's back into being so far removed from that injury. Julio Jones is back and now 100% healthy after last year himself. He's going to have to throw a bunch. Even Harry Douglas is going to get in the mix because he doesn't have Tony Gonzalez. Steven Jackson's wearing down, so I expect them to be behind a lot too. So Matt Ryan, I really like. And then after him, I still kind of like Cam Newton. I think the running comes down a little bit because it has tracked down over the past few seasons, and the wide receiver situation is obviously probably the worst in the league. You're talking about a rookie being your number one guy and a raw rookie who's basically a red zone threat at this point, not much else. And then after him, Robert Griffin, I would like a lot more if it wasn't for Jay Gruden because they want to keep him in the pocket more and have him be more of a pocket passer. That's not Robert Griffin's strength, even though I think he will take off and run on his own. I just don't think it'll be as much as it used to be. And then freaking Tom Brady checking in at number 10. You talked about him, but it's Tom stinking Brady. Would it surprise you if Tom Brady hits the top five? I think at this point, it's only the question mark of, is Edelman really that good? Is he going to have Gronkowski for the entire season? Is Aaron Dobson going to be healthy and what they think he's going to be because he still hasn't been able to do much in the preseason? Cambrell Tompkins, who the heck knows what he is? Amendola going to make it through three games? Maybe three? I don't know. But if he has Gronkowski for 16 games, the numbers with and without Gronkowski are absurd. He could easily hit the top five again.
Oh, absolutely, and that you nailed it with Gronk. It's if Gronk is healthy, I'm feeling great about Tom Brady. Otherwise, you get a ho-hum 4,000 yards. If Gronk gets hurt and misses time, but with Gronkowski, just the beast that he is in the red zone. I mean, it's just insane the numbers that can be had for a guy like Tom Brady, who again, we're talking about the 10th ranked quarterback on your board, and we haven't even gotten to a Colin Kaepernick guy like that. But you mentioned Foles. I love the situation there in Philly. I do think it's a very balanced offense. I think they're going to run a ton of plays. Chip Kelly wants to run even more plays than he ran last year. And I do think Nick Foles, you're not going to throw only two interceptions this year, but he's very smart with the football, and he can add a little bit on the ground too. He's not a statue in the pocket, certainly not a Robert Griffin either, but a couple extra yards here and there and a few rushing touchdowns certainly doesn't hurt for fantasy purposes. But I love Matt Ryan as a value pick. I don't know how many people out there love Matt Ryan that are listening, but you should certainly not draft with your heart. And take a guy like Matt Ryan. I think he's, a guy that certainly can put up over 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns very easily this year. I think they've improved that line a little bit. They obviously lost Tony Gonzalez, but a healthy Julio Jones is going to do wonders for them and for Matt Ryan specifically. So, I agree with this tier. I still think there are a few other guys when we talk about this is the top 10 now, and if you're in a 10-team league, you're guaranteed just about to get one of these guys, and we haven't even talked about the four or five guys behind these guys that are still starter worthy and potentially putting up top 10 numbers this year.
Oh, absolutely. And really, I guess, what I kind of want to touch on it and see if what your thoughts agree with me, because the Robert Griffin one seems to be the one out of all those guys. I think pretty much I'd say I'd go even a little bit deeper. We'll talk about them in a second, but like the Kaepernick Cutlers, I really think that Griffin's the most volatile. I think you could really see him finishing anywhere from number five, where we're talking about Andrew Luck. And to be honest, if you talked to me at the end of the season and said, guess what, Robert Griffin's only the 16th ranked quarterback, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't be something where we're like, wow, I never saw that coming.
No, of these guys, I think RG3 is definitely one of the most volatile. I think Cam Newton's probably going to have some duds. I mean, everyone wants to point to his supporting cast, and like you said, he's got a raw rookie. He does happen to be 6'5 and 240 pounds, but you know, he's raw in every sense of the word. Having a nice summer, by the way, but Cam Newton really does not have many weapons. The run game is just starting to break down a little bit, even though it's a three-headed monster, so to speak, and with Cam Newton in there as well, obviously the value tied to his rushing ability. So I think people are actually backing off of him quite a bit, and it wouldn't surprise me. In a lot of drafts I've seen, he's gone outside the top 10, but I think you're going to have to reach for him over an RG3 a little bit earlier than that if you want him. I've seen him go on the earlier side before a guy like Matt Ryan, before a guy like Tom Brady, and it's because of the upside. Obviously, like you said, it wouldn't surprise me if he finishes top four, top five fantasy quarterback. He certainly got that potential, and you know, hopefully healthier than last year and learning that new offense. But you know, last year was not pretty for him. He definitely hit some rough patches, so you know, there could be some inconsistencies with RG3. It's certainly not a slam dunk that he finishes as, you know, a top seven quarterback where he's kind of being drafted. So I think it's definitely he's a little bit risky this year, and there might be some safer guys if you want to wait a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some safer guys actually kind of right here. Actually, there's one unsafe guy, really unsafe guy, and then we'll talk about two. Actually, you know what? There's probably about two and two here. I keep lying. There's two unsafe and there's two safe. The first unsafe, Tony Romo. The back issue, obviously, but we're talking about somebody who, for years on end, I wrote an article about it, and I kept preaching about how underrated he was, because if you look at Tony Romo, there was Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Tony Romo. This was 2 years ago. It's changed a little bit because of last season, but 2 years ago, they were the only quarterbacks that 5 out of the 6 years before last year had finished in the top 10 5 of the 6 times. And Tony Romo was one of them. And we're talking about Tony Romo, who could easily, I'd say on a bad season this upcoming year, throw for 4,000-plus yards and 30-plus touchdowns, because I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but the Cowboys' defense stinks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are – you and I talked about this. I'm going to reference something that nobody knows who's listening what I was talking about, but you know what's coming. When you're talking fantasy defenses – there's 31, and then there's just a blank spot. The Cowboys don't even factor into the equation. Like, do not. I don't care if you're in a best ball team league where you can draft three defenses. I wouldn't even waste the best ball, because you're just wasting a spot. They're never going to be one of your best scoring defenses. They're that bad. And I'm not trying to be mean, but it's true. It's a fact. So, but that's what's good about Tony Romo, is they're going to have to pass a lot. They're going to be behind. They're going to be in high scoring games. And Tony Romo is very underrated. Dez Bryant, Darrence Williams is emerging. Jason Witten, I think it bounces back a little bit this season. This year wasn't that bad last year. DeMarco Murray, if he can stay on the field for 16 games, that offense is going to be really good. But the question is Tony Romo going to be there for 16 games with that back? So you got that as a question mark. Colin Kaepernick, I think, is the safe one. You know what you're going to get from Kaepernick. Could he take another step forward this year? It's very possible. He does have some good rushing ability, which 500-600 yards, maybe even a little bit more, that's what's really going to help your fantasy value too. I think he's a little too much of he disappears for a few weeks here and there. But on a side note, God forbid if they lose Colin Kaepernick. Are you watching Blaine Gabbert at all? Because they should get GM of the year for even getting a sixth rounder from the 49ers, being able to trade him away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a success right there. I do not know how they pull that off. Who I have next right behind that is Jay Cutler. Like Tony Romo, it's the injuries, because if you gave me 16 games of Jay Cutler and gave me 16 games with Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, he is going to top 4,000 yards. He is going to top 30 touchdowns. I did a little piece where I talked about Brandon Marshall with Jay Cutler, and the numbers that Brandon Marshall would put up were only second. You go back 10 years, it was only second to Randy Moss's 2007 season. That's how good he is over 16 games with that connection. And then Russell Wilson, I think, is the one that kind of checks into this next tier, is these four guys, who is safe, but he just doesn't ever put up those huge, once in a blue moon he does, but you could pretty much say he doesn't ever put up those huge games. You're not going to be looking for Russell Wilson to get you 300 yards and three touchdowns multiple weeks. He'll get you some rushing yards, but he's also never going to kill you, and that's what I like about him. Is you can almost pencil him in for at least a two in front of that yardage and probably two touchdowns.
Yeah, I like Russell Wilson's consistency. Like you said, if I'm in a 10-team league, I'm not really going to want to be rolling with Russell Wilson as my QB1 most weeks because of the upside. And it's kind of capped by obviously having a really good defense and also a solid running game there as well. But Russell Wilson, just very, very steady option. I agree with you on Cutler. I think he's the guy in the top 15 that we're talking of that kind of scares me the most. Just because, number one, the injuries. He's never really had that, you know, unless we talk about his Denver days, really any huge, huge seasons since then. And it's been some years, but I love the surrounding cast, and that's what makes him very, very intriguing this year, I think. Obviously, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey are there. Matt Forte, obviously one of the best, catching balls out of the backfield too. It's just a very, very good complement of weapons for Jay Cutler. And, you know, him and Tony Romo, I'd rather have Romo even with the back concerns. But Jay Cutler, right? Jay Cutler's right there, and it wouldn't surprise me if he had a top 10 season. When we talk about Kaepernick, I think the upside is almost as high as any other quarterback out there, especially running quarterbacks. I'd rather have him than RG3 this year. I do think it's all going to come together for Kaepernick. I could really see just a monster season, and you might not have to draft him until, you know, really the later rounds. I think when we're talking about Kaepernick, he could be the 10th, 11th, 12th quarterback off the board in some instances. And I think that is just a steal for a guy like that with his kind of upside. Was a little bit rocky to start out the year last year, and certainly didn't run as much, I think, that as a lot of people were thinking he was going to, other than that first game against Green Bay where he really went off and had a huge performance. But, you know, I just think the upside week to week with Kaepernick, if he can find consistency in his game, and he's got, you know, enough weapons around him, not necessarily the flashiest of weapons, but he's got enough weapons around him where he can definitely finish in the top five this year. You know, I really feel like Colin Kaepernick's in for a pretty big season. So I like him, and I like where you can get him in fantasy drafts this year.
Yeah, I like where you can get him if you get him in the right spot. Right now, like for the ADP, he's looks like, was that 6th, 7th roundish right now. And a lot of drafts that I've been in is kind of like more of where I think that you're looking is I've seen him in like the 8th, 9th round. And that's where I kind of like him because he's going around the same time as right now Cutler, Romo, Wilson are all going in that very end of the 8th, early 9th round range. And that's where I kind of really like Kaepernick too, even in the 8th, because I think he's got more upside than them if he takes that step forward. That I'll agree with you. I don't know. The 6th, 7th round is a little early for me because that's almost when I start thinking about quarterbacks, but I start thinking about them if a Cam or a Matt Ryan fall to me. Not if a Cam. I think Colin Kaepernick's kind of like he fits well there. But I will say, to go back real quick, I think that of all of those guys, my favorite, if he's healthy, is Cutler. If you could just tell me he'll play 16 games, I would put him in the top. I'd probably put him in the top 8.
Yeah, it's the weapons, and it does come down to health. I think Mark Trestman's a really smart guy, and obviously we saw Josh McCown put up great numbers when Cutler was out. That was kind of weird. He actually put up probably better numbers than Cutler, which is kind of crazy and a little pause for concern just for a brief second when you think about it. A journeyman 34-year-old quarterback put up better numbers than the franchise. But, no, I agree with you. I like Cutler. Just something about him scares me a little bit that he's not necessarily going to have that massive year that everyone's thinking that he might. But again, it all ties into value. And if he's the 14th quarterback off the board, and I've stockpiled at every other position, Yeah, I feel great about Jay Cutler as my number one, because then I'll just go out and grab Andy Dalton or Big Ben as my number two in case he does get hurt.
I was with you with Big Ben. Well, not Andy Dalton, man. Come, okay, we'll get to that in a second here. Rivers is next for me, and I think that I don't understand why people are hating on him so much after he bounces back. Pretty much has the same, if not a little bit better, of a wide receiver situation last year because everybody and their brother got hurt last year, and then Keenan Allen stepped forward. Well, now you have Keenan Allen in year two, Ladarius Green taking a step forward where everybody was hoping for what happened last year as Antonio Gates continues to fall off at the end of his career. But now that Green's more comfortable, he can take that reign, even though Gates, look, I would have to say the change is coming this year. He's still lingering around, but I think Phillip Rivers is nice. Basically, these guys I'm about to talk about right here are all the ones I was talking about before as great ones to pair with a Romo, a Kaepernick, a Cutler. Was like that's what I'm going for. If I miss out on that third tier, because if I don't get Stafford, the third tier I'm talking about were the ones you and I were saying with the Lucks, the Ryans, the Newtons, those guys. If you start hitting that Romo, Kaepernick, Cutler, Wilson, I'd look to get one of these guys, even though I'm not hugely fond of carrying two quarterbacks, but in this case I am, especially for this year. But Rivers, I like. Roethlisberger, I already mentioned the fact of how good he was over the last six games. I think people forget. They just don't want to seem to admit how good of a passer he is. Andy Dalton, though. I have him right now. Look, I'm cautiously optimistic about what Ben McAdoo is going to do for the Giants, and people don't want to give Eli the respect of how many times he finished as a QB1 or just outside of it before last year. He's been wildly inconsistent. I'm not going to make any apologies for that. And last year was miserably, terribly, awfully bad. That was god awful. There's no other way to put it. But they have a really easy start to the season. I know I talked about strength of schedule, but I'm saying, sometimes it takes a few weeks to get going. And if you look at the teams they're playing, they could improve and flip and be on the other side of the strength of schedule wise. I just talked about all that. But the teams they're playing, there's opportunities there, especially with the Cowboys in the mix. So I think that if McAdoo can get that system going, if they can get ready for week one, that Manning could slip it into that Andy Dalton, maybe Ben Roethlisberger range like he used to be. But Andy Dalton, the biggest problem I have is Hugh Jackson. It's not him. It's not even Hugh. It's not Dalton. I don't have a thing against redheads. It's just the fact that Hugh Jackson's in town, and he's not throwing the ball 586 times again. I will make that guarantee right. Here's your first guarantee for your Saints fantasy football podcast season. Andy Dalton is not throwing the ball 586 times again this year. I think it'll probably be more in the 520, 530, maybe 540 range like he used to be. And that's what's going to knock him down. He's still going to have some really good weeks for you. He'll still have weeks where he'll throw for 300 yards and even three touchdowns. He's got AJ Green, but what does he have after AJ Green? I really liked Marvin Jones, but now he's out for weeks. So I think Geo sees a lot of targets, and I'll happily take Dalton if I can get a Romo because, I could play the matchups and get Dalton in there for a few weeks, but God forbid these people that I don't people are taking Andy Dalton as their QB1. And that to me, even at a 14-team league, that's bananas.
Yeah, that's not a place where I want to be with him as my starter. He is wildly inconsistent, and I agree with you. He's not going to put the ball in the air as much as he did last year. But, having AJ Green is a thing of beauty and can do wonders for your fantasy numbers. And I also think, obviously, I was also high on Marvin Jones and think when he gets back, that offense might start to click a little bit more, assuming he's healthy. Love Gio Bernard as well, especially as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So I think there's going to be a downfall in his numbers. I think they're going to dip from the almost 4,300 yards and 33 touchdowns he put up through the air. But I certainly think he's going to be able to pass for, at least 35, 3,800 yards and get around, mid-20s for touchdowns. And I think, Eli's going to bounce back as well. I'd rather have Dalton for this year. I think it's close enough to split hairs. But Big Ben in front of both of them, for sure, because if Big Ben, obviously he's another guy who deals with injuries, but if he stays healthy, I really like him in that offense. But Dalton, a lot of people like him, or a lot of people really just despise him. Much like – it's almost like the Tony Romo hate because Andy Dalton is not a good real-life quarterback. Romo is much better real-life quarterback. But, you know, Romo has these gaffes and, you know, these screw-ups and fumbles in key spots and, you know, stuff like that that makes people despise him and laugh at him and stuff like that. But I'll gladly take Romo all day long as my QB1, as we've talked about. And Dalton, you know, doesn't have the big arm, and I think people get on him about that. Maybe it's the red hair. I don't know. Like you said, you don't hate people with red hair. Neither do I. I'm an equal opportunity lender. Yeah, I want him as my QB2. I think if I'm getting one of these guys as my QB2, it's really good value. And after these guys, I think you're kind of taking a shot in the dark with some guys. I do still think there's some value out there after the Eli Dalton and Ben Roethlisberger. I still think there's some guys that are going to be fantasy relevant and wouldn't surprise me if they put up big seasons. But once these guys go off the board, and if you want a backup quarterback and you didn't get one of these three, you might want to make a move and take a look at who's left and grabbing someone before they're all dried up and you're left looking at EJ Manuel and Geno Smith.
Well, it's funny because somebody in that expert draft we did over the weekend really, really waited on quarterback. And I don't have a problem waiting really long and taking two and playing the matchups and streaming your quarterbacks. But he left with one, and it was Ryan Tannehill. And even Ryan Tannehill apologists, even Dolphins fans, have to admit, that's a little nuts because I'll tell you, and we'll close out on Mr. Popular. Actually, we'll touch real quickly on some quarterbacks after that. We can throw out some that we like as some deep sleepers. But the one we have to talk about, and it's because I have him ranked one spot ahead of Tannehill, and I still have faith he starts sooner than later, even if not week one, it's going to happen. Mr. Johnny Freakin' Football. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen because Shanahan plus quarterback equals running, and Johnny Manziel running is going to equal fantasy production. If you look at Robert Griffin, this is all I have to say. If you look at Robert Griffin's rookie year, where did the production come from? All those rushing yards and touchdowns. And so he's got freedom to do so. You've seen that he had freedom to take off in the preseason games, even though, like a bonehead, he dove head first and almost was looking for contact. Hopefully somebody knocks some sense into him in the locker room before he gets something knocked out of him on the field, because that's going to kill him. He did make a nice slide on the one in the first preseason game, which I thought was going to be more of what we saw, but that was before, like I said, he dove head first. But he's got a better arm, a 10 times better arm mechanically than Tim Tebow. So those comparisons of people getting worried about that, I think that's more fresh in their minds. Don't need to worry about that. He's a better passer, and he's a great runner, and that's where the value comes from. I don't care if he only throws for 3,000 yards and 15 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. It's the fact that he's going to probably run for 6 to 7, maybe even 800 yards, and probably close to double-digit touchdowns if you give him 16 games. So even if he gets 12, he's still going to be in the top 20. He might even get near the top 15. He'll definitely get near the top 12 if he plays 16 games. I'm that confident. I don't like his off-the-field style, but I love some Johnny Football when it comes to fantasy.
He just likes to party. Johnny Football, he's a guy that – he's my ideal QB2. And when I say that, I've said this before this offseason with Manziel, is, you know, he's got the upside and it's tied to his legs. Like you said, you outlined it perfectly. His fantasy upside is definitely tied to how much he can run around and make plays and improvise on his feet. You know, even without Josh Gordon, I still think he's got potential to put up top 12 numbers. Now, you throw in maybe Josh Gordon for 8 games. You know, who knows what's going on with that situation. Hopefully we'll be talking about it in future shows. But, you know, he's going to put up really good numbers when he overtakes Brian Hoyer, which will be in the first probably month of the season. So if you draft, whether you drafted a rock-solid starter, you know, in the top 5 that we talked about, or you draft a guy like Tony Romo, and you're looking for your QB2, Johnny Manziel is a guy that could be drafted as your backup and finish the year in your starting lineup for your fantasy team because he's putting up that good of numbers. So he's the ultimate risk-reward type of guy, and that's why I like him as my QB2 target. And I agree. I think, you know, if he gets past here. So, you know, a lot of people really like the guy. So there's a chance that he's going to go a little bit earlier than you're willing to take him. And if that happens, I turn to a guy like Ryan Tannehill. And I think, you know, if Ryan Tannehill even slightly improves on last year's numbers, you know, we're looking at a top 12, top 15 type of player. So I have a little bit of faith in that offense being not quite as lame as it was under Mike Sherman with Bill Lazor, and hopefully they'll, you know, take advantage of Tannehill's arm, take advantage of Mike Wallace being really fast, and try and get those two on the same page. So, you know, I look at Manziel as my target for my backup, and if I miss out on him or someone, you know, is a crazy fan of Johnny Football in your league and he goes, you know, three rounds too early, okay, you know, I'm pissed off that I missed out, but I'll take Ryan Tannehill a few rounds later and be happy with it as a, you know, a rock solid guy with, again, probably not as high of an upside as Johnny Manziel, but it wouldn't surprise me if Tannehill is on the cusp of QB1 numbers when the season's done.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So real quick before we wrap up our first show for the Saints podcast that we're going to be doing, it's going to be every, I think, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It looks like the plan. So you're going to get us three times a week once the regular season hits. Right now, the next 2 weeks is a lot of preview stuff. And then the regular season hits, we're going to be doing some wrap-ups, the outlook of the games, and some waiver pickup news, and then the schedule for the rest of the week of who to start and sit, that type of stuff, your typical stuff you see everywhere. But some of the sleepers, the guys behind them, for the people that play 14, 16-team leagues or two-quarterback leagues or best ball, for people who don't know what best ball, you just draft and that's it. You're done. Like Ronco said it, forget it. You just don't even mess with your team for the rest of the year, and then the team just auto-populates your top 10 scorers or whatever your roster setup is. So you want two quarterbacks sometimes. I always like to get three because you just don't know who's going to get hurt and you want to build a nice depth. So there are a lot of guys that are outside the top 20 that I've been keying in on some of these players that I've picked up in such leagues. And I'll give you the ones that I do like. I like Carson Palmer for as long as he's healthy. I think that Michael Floyd takes a step forward this year. I could even see Michael Floyd surpassing Fitzgerald in production when they're all said and done. And then you got Brown out there who's been looking really good in the preseason. Again, I don't like to overrate preseason. I'm just saying they have a nice third option. It looks like they could have one. So I like him because he'll put up a couple big games, and that's more what it is. When you start talking about these guys, you want the big games. You want the double-digit fantasy points, 15, 20, maybe even 25. You don't want the guy who's going to go out there like, I don't know, Alex Smith. I don't want him. At this point, I don't. If I'm in a best ball, maybe, because I know he'll consistently always make me not get a really terrible score. But I don't really want him that much because how often is he going to get you that 20-plus point game? Carson Palmer can do it. And one of the other ones, Sam Bradford, was on a really good pace before he got hurt last year. I think he's somebody else. Jake Locker, as much as I've bashed the guy since he came into the NFL, the two guys when they came out of the draft, Blaine Gabbert and Jake Locker, I just railed on them endlessly. And Locker is because he's more comfortable on the run, and he still has that problem. But the run is where you can provide some of the value. So there's some weeks where Locker will have pretty – he can give you probably two, three, maybe 4 weeks out of the season. He'll hit that 15 to 20 range. And then the last one that I do like, actually for complete upside in deep leagues, if I'm looking for somebody just to play the matchup, Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're talking about somebody who throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns pretty regularly. Like, you know, you're going to sit there at the end of the season, actually throughout the season, you're going to be, oh, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick just for 300 and three touchdowns again. It happens three or four times a year. Trying to predict it, don't ask me how you're going to do it, because even if you play the matchup, sometimes he does it against one of the top defenses, and the next week he throws 105 with two interceptions against somebody like the Cowboys. But he's going to do it. If best ball formats only, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I like Fitzpatrick too. I think obviously, you know, you only get penalized minus two usually in any league for an interception, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to sling it because the Texans, you know, while they're getting better, they're not going to be a really good team again this year, but they got some great weapons with DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson, and obviously the running game, a question mark, but Arian Foster, if he's healthy. I'll agree with you on all those except for Jake Locker. I just can't get behind the guy. Accuracy issues are just brutality. The guy can never seem to stay healthy. He seems to get, you know, a couple games under his belt starts to pick up some steam, and I start to take a look at him, and then either he gets hurt or has a terrible game, and I think he's going to stunt the growth a little bit of Justin Hunter and the hype train that's going on with him right now this year. I think unfortunately he's not going to really peak until next year when there's a new quarterback under center, probably Zach Mettenberger, who is better already than Jake Locker. But I digress. I'm going to agree with you. I'll throw in, I know I made fun of him a little bit earlier, but Geno Smith put up some monster. If you could stomach the, potential for a 3 or 4 point outing, he has put up some pretty monster games last year. I think the core around him got better as a whole. So if he holds off Michael Vick, I think Geno Smith could be a nice QB this year, or at least improve on the 21 interceptions from last year and have a couple big games. Ideally, though, your backup quarterback is only getting into the game during a bye week, and hopefully you're the guy you drafted as your QB1 is healthy and performing, so you don't have to deal with one of these guys and kind of rolling the dice and hoping that you catch them on one of their big weeks.
But Geno Smith, man, I want to say that I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I almost feel like you're taking the easy with that. He's going to be better than last year. Really, come on, like anything is better than last year at all. And he made Eli Manning look good. Really, it's just the New York situation for quarterbacks right now. We haven't seen anything yet, much in the preseason for the improvement aspect of things. But right now, it's not that great. And it's safe to say that even if you took, because we'll spin this Saints-wise just for everybody listening, because we love some Drew Brees. But, EJ Manuel, or not, yeah, I was going to say EJ Manuel, because I was going to throw all the New York guys in there, so we might as well. I was going to say EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, and Eli Manning, you put them all together, still probably not going to be what Drew Brees is going to do this year. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much you're pretty much on with that. I will say this though, and we'll figure it out at the end of the year, that Geno Smith puts up more points than Jake Locker this year.
That's interesting. I have to think of if I want to take you up on that bet, because I'm not a Jake Locker fan. I hate the guy. But when it comes to fantasy best ball, I kind of have, I don't know. We'll tack that on the next show and talk about running backs real quick. I'll decide if I want to take you up on that bet.
All right, sounds good.
But yeah, so we're out of time. We'll be back. Like I said, running back preview is what we're going to do for our next show. I hope you guys enjoyed our first one. If you have any comments or, hey, you want to tell us a better song to use, because I looked everywhere and I kind of like the Who Dat song we kind of got going on. It's one of the popular ones for the Saints Nation out there. If you have a better suggestion or some things you want us to touch on from now until the season starts, Saints specific wise, catch me, Jake Seeley, at All In Kid. It's all one word. Catch Bobby McMahon, all one word as well, at Hello on Bobby. And we'll be back for your running back preview later this week.